Well, good morning, New Life. It's been a minute since I've been up here, but the last couple of weeks, last couple of Sundays, and I want to thank Phil Marlowe for preaching those couple of Sundays for me. I'm sure he enjoyed those. I know you did too. So I think in the last 2 weeks, you got to hear Phil Marlowe a couple of times, and Phil Jones, and Phil Fisher, so you got everybody. So it was good. For me and Carla to be out and to go down and visit some churches down south to share with what we do here at New Life and get our name out there and our partnerships going. And so we know we got a couple of them coming up here in mission trips. And a lot of times our June and Julys are full. But this year, again, there's a couple of them coming in early. So the last week of March and the first week of April. So we know that that's going to be when we have them. So we're getting a group from Georgia. I think it's Valdosta, however you want to say it. And also in Birmingham, Alabama. I also want to say that I know sometimes our Sunday school classes, they start a little bit late, but I want to let you know, I found out it's all the way down the south. That thing runs it. I think Baptist is just what it is. We late. And I watched their service, and I'm like, where's everybody at? They all start coming in right at the last minute. So we are not the only ones that do that. So I was glad to be there with them, but I'm also glad to be back with you all, and definitely glad to be back and see all your faces and hear some of the things that's been going on with you. And we couldn't bring the good weather back. It's just the way it is. But you know what? Spring is coming. That's the way I look at it. And spring is coming, and next week we'll be in March. So I'm excited about that. My heart, like yours, has been going out to Ukraine. I want to remind you that they actually, percentage-wise, they have more Christians than we do, percentage. They're in the 70% tile. So there's a lot more going on over there than what we think it is. There's a spiritual part that's going on. We want to pray for them, want to keep them in prayer. And I want to share some things with you today. I want to pray for them. I just want to pray for them specifically this morning, knowing that there's a lot of other countries also that are kind of in fear a little bit, and they're getting themselves ramped up and things like that. But I'll just remind you today that God is on the throne. He's got it all in his hands. There's a bigger picture going on than what we see, and we're going to share some of that today. I just want to put you at ease that God is still boss. Father, we want to thank you for this day. It is our worship service. Lord, we want to take a moment out here, Lord, to pray for our brothers and sisters and for the country of Ukraine, knowing, Lord, that what is going on there, Lord, is a movement of darkness, but we know, Lord, that you hold all things in your hands. And our brothers and sisters that are over there today fighting for their freedom, we want to lift them up to you today. We pray, Father, you would protect them. We pray, Father, that your will would be done there. I pray, Father, that their focus, Lord, would be knowing who they are in Jesus, reminding them of their faith and hope, and the love that you give is eternal. I just pray today for protection upon these people in Ukraine. We want to lift them up to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to, I'm going to ask somebody, somebody go up to my office real quick and get my reading glasses, because I'm done squinting forever. I hate to say it, but we're just going to do it right now. I want to get this out of the way, because this is not working. All right. So if I squint looking at you, I know you're there. I need to see because I'm going to do a little reading today. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans today. All right, Romans today. Thank you for that. Okay, so we're going to be in Romans today, and I want to share with you what is inside of you is more powerful than what's outside of you. Who you have inside of you is more powerful than what's outside of you. And that is the Holy Spirit. If you'd understand and know the power of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, we're going to share that today. You might not have so many down days. You might not be depressed so much. You might find yourself having more victory in your life. You might have yourself having more triumph over things that you had a hard time triumph over. But there is a part in chapter 7 that I got to share before I jump into chapter 8. Because it is the battle that we all have from time to time. So chapter 7 in the book of Romans comes to this problem of sin, that we all have a problem in sin. And he says in verse 15, "For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate." What he's saying, he says, I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And there's this sin piece in me, and I don't know how to work it out. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm struggling. How many of y'all been there? I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but what I'm doing is the wrong thing. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing that. And Paul says, I'm practicing what I want to do, but I do what I hate. I'm not doing what I want to do, but I'm doing what I hate. Verse 16, "If I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it." You cannot please God without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. "For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do." He says, I'm struggling. But it's a struggle we all have. We want to be in the Spirit with God, but we're here in the flesh. And our flesh pulls us into the wrong direction, into the things of the world. And then he says down here in verse 24, "What a wretched man that I am." Have you ever got aggravated with yourself? I'm going to keep doing this. I'm sorry if I keep doing that, because then if I look at you, it's really blurry because these are just reading glasses. So what a wretched man that I am. Haven't you called yourself a bad person? I'm just a sinner. And then Satan wants to keep attacking you with that, saying that you are no good, that you are unworthy, that God doesn't love you because you sin and you can't fix it, and you're a loser and you're done, so just shut up and just live life. But he said, "What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body?" And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Without Jesus Christ, you lose. But with Christ, you win. And so today, if you have Christ, you win. Without Christ, you lose. So that's the piece we have to get out of the way first, that we're struggling. As believers, we struggle in our walk in this world. There's no one in this room that does not struggle with temptation. And there's no one in this room that is done with sinning. But I want to let you know, God knows that already. He's willing to put up with it. He's willing to deal with it. And he did it. Let's look in chapter 8, verse 1. "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation for you that have Jesus Christ. For you that do not have Christ, there is condemnation, because you are dead in your sins. You understand that? You understand that there is no condemnation. So when I wake up in the morning, I am victorious every morning. When I go to sleep, I am victorious. Satan likes to play games sometimes with your dreams and your thoughts and your ideas and your mind. But I'll remind you, that's just little battles that you have while you're living here. Have victory. Victory only comes through Jesus Christ. So there is no condemnation in your life that exists for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm a winner. You're a winner. Not in the way the world's a winner. Everything with it has a limitation. But with Christ, it's eternal. So he says in verse 2, because the Spirit's law of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Christ sets us free. So even when I battle those things that I don't want to do, there's a battle in there. With the world, it's just a conscience. Whatever I feel that I want to do. I have a conscience or not. I want to listen to it. I can do what I want to do. But when we have a problem and we want to do the thing that we don't want to do, or we can't do the thing that we want to do, when there's a battle going on. And it's a raging battle. Because when you do the right thing, you're in God's will. And when you're in God's will, that's dangerous to the world. That's dangerous to the world. He goes down here in verse 8, because we're not going to be able to go through all this, but for those who live according to the flesh, think about the things of the flesh. You notice, before you became a Christian, you thought more things about the world, how to set yourself up. But when you became a believer, some of that was still there. Some of that's still there. You still think about yourself. You still think about those things. But now you're thinking more about, what does God want? What does the Holy Spirit want? What is He telling me? I'm drawing more to Him. So God is patient with us as we keep learning that. For those who live according to the flesh, think about the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, how about the things of the Spirit? You didn't think about spiritual things until you became a believer. You didn't. You thought, what was best for me and my family? What was best for me and my job? What was best for me and my wallet? What was best for me and my house? But as a believer, you go beyond all that stuff. God wants us to take care of our families. He wants us to work. He wants us to take care, love our families, and do those things and provide for our families. But there's a part there that we need to be thinking upon the things that are spiritual. Remember, what's in the inside is stronger than what's on the outside. So when you come up against storms in life, you know this, it can be a major storm on the outside. But what is in you is bigger than the storm that you're facing. And I can tell you, if there is as many Christians as they say there is in Ukraine right now, I want to tell you, they are praying. And they're putting their hands to what they feel they need to do. They are defending what they have, their freedom. Whatever way it goes, I want to tell you, they can never take the salvation away from the believer. They can never take their citizenship from God. It is a temporal thing. And what the world does. But he says, for, in verse 6, for the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. There is a difference. The world, the flesh, battles against the Spirit. Always. That's why you have a battle inside of you. I don't do what I need to do. I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing. There's a battle inside of you. It rages more as a believer as it is in the world. When you're lost, it just rages on what you want to do. You're dead in your sins. But when you become a believer, there's a raging war that begins to happen. You drawing close to God. It's one of our scriptures. When you draw to God, God draws nigh to you. It's a peace. And we begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we begin to understand the dangerous thing for the world is when a believer becomes not just a believer, but a working believer. And a believer that believes truly what God's Word says. And they become super strong into the world. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. It fights against God because it does not submit itself to God's law. for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God if you don't believe in God and don't believe in Jesus Christ or have His Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. Because it's all in the flesh. It's all in the world. You can only please God when you have the Holy Spirit. And you only get the Holy Spirit through a relationship with Jesus Christ. God has a way. And His way is right, whether we say so or not. And God left His word for us to study it and learn it so that we would not be, so we wouldn't be short, so we would not fall short, but we would have His word to understand there's times when we do things that we shouldn't do, and that is sin. There's times when we should do something, but we don't do it, and that is sin. And it reminds us that Jesus Christ came and died for sinners that are lost. And with the Holy Spirit, He infills the believer. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And since the Spirit of God lives in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I am dead to the world, but I'm in my flesh. But we're alive to Christ because of the Spirit. I want to read something to you here a little bit more. I want to share something with you. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. You are part of a family, whether you have one here or not. No matter how messed up your family is, because we all know we got a messed up family somewhere. We all got some black sheep in the family. You might be one of them. And your family has failed you from time to time. And you failed your family from time to time. But I want to remind you that you're part of a family. That you have the greatest Father. I love my daddy. I did. Still do. Some of you remember him. I love him. But he is not God. He was a man trying to do his best. We have one Father, and that is God, who knows no wrong, who does no evil, but He is God, and we are His children. But I want to share right here, it says that not only are we a part of the family, but the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. How do we know? When do we get the Holy Spirit? At the time of baptism? Some people believe that. If you know that, right? Some people believe that. Some people, you got to have a laying of the hands on, so you got to receive the Holy Spirit, something separate. Let's see what Scripture says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. When you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you heard the gospel of your salvation, the day of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you believed in Him, right? How did we come to Christ? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe, which means turn away from your sin and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and believe. So here it is. When you have heard the message of truth, you heard it, the gospel of your salvation, that's the story of Jesus coming. And when you believed in Him, not just hearing the story, but you believed in Him. It says you were also sealed. Woo, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. You didn't wait a week. You didn't wait 5 days. You didn't wait till you were baptized. You got it the day, because when you got salvation, you got it all. You were adopted into the family of God. You were engrafted through Jesus Christ. You are part of the family. Yes? 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 It says He is the down payment of our inheritance. How do I know I saved? When I got days where I'm like, am I saved or not? I got the Holy Spirit. And that's the down. That is the deposit. That is what I know. That is the evidence that I know that I'm saved. Did y'all catch that? It's a little deeper than some of us are used to, right? You get the Holy Spirit as salvation. And when you are in your walk in the world and you get these challenges and you get these thoughts, am I saved? Am I not saved? If you got the Holy Spirit, you know you're saved. Go back, take a moment, take a breather. Okay? So he is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. There's a lot going on in Romans. There's a lot going on in Ephesians. There's a lot going on in your life. And God knows what you need to make it through, and he needs us to understand that we have the Holy Spirit inside of our lives, inside of us. It's not in the distance. We have God the Father, the creator of all things. We have Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, God's Son, the Lamb, unblemished. The ultimate sacrifice, sitting at the right hand of God. But he also put inside the believer the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. You notice when you become a believer, you do more good than you ever done in your life? Where does that come from? You know? Why do I cry when somebody gets saved? Or why do I, that's not the way I used to be. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Then you have some emotion that's real. Jump down to verse 26 of Romans, back in Romans 8. I just had to share that with you. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weaknesses, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. God knows we can't get it together without him. How does a human being stand before holy God? Even when you want to do it right, we fumble it. Even when we have a prayer piece, we fumble it. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Who, when you get ready, I don't know, I know some of y'all experience it. You have an idea what you're getting ready to pray for. And the flesh just can pop in. The idea's in the flesh already. Lord, change him. Change her. Change my wife. Change my husband. Da-da-da-da-da, right? Get my kids. And we do it. We do it. But when we get there and we get on our knees and we start praying, it all changes. We don't pray hastily and angrily. We start praying with compassion. We start praying with some mercy, and we start praying with some love. And then we find ourselves praying more in depth. Who is that? What is that working inside of us? It is the Holy Spirit. Because we think we know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit knows what we ought to pray for. But not just what we ought to pray for, but how to do it. The Holy Spirit works with us in our weaknesses because he knows we're weak. You're weak at times. You're weak. You have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. But the Holy Spirit has no weaknesses. Do you understand that what happened at the cross was amazing? But that it didn't end at the cross, but the day of Pentecost was amazing because God put his Spirit among man, on the believer. The demonic works that the demonic does, I believe that sometimes demonic avoids Christians in their endeavors and their service to God. Many times I believe they avoid because they know that if that person understands and knows what's really in them, you see what I'm saying? They're going to move along, go somewhere else. Because when you understand and know the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, you know what's in you is more powerful than anything that the world could have or offer or create. Holy Spirit is amazing. Just the Holy Spirit is amazing that God puts it in all the believers. It's how amazing, how massive, huge and powerful that God is. He doesn't put it in 20 people. He can put it in 20 million. There's no limit. As long as they're a believer, he puts it in them. You don't get any short. You don't get any less of the Holy Spirit than somebody else gets more. Now, you may get a spiritual gift that's a little more. Maybe get less spiritual gifts. Maybe you get two. Maybe you get three. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you get the same amount. You get the Holy Spirit just as everybody else does. So you have no shortcoming. I have no shortcoming in being the believer that God's called us to be. Because we are infilled with the Holy Spirit. Because why? Because we've accepted Christ. We believe. We repented. As Scripture says, we are part of the family of God. When you have a family get together, whether it's Christmas, they might get different Christmas gifts, but they're still part of the family. They still sit at the table. They still partake of the meal. They still partake of the fellowship. They're still part of the family. Although they might get different gifts, they still are part of that family. Why are they there at the family? Because they are family. Amen? And we are part of the family of God. So we need to act like it. Amen? So he goes on, and he says, "And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." There's more conversation going on about you in your life than you ever thought. You know God talks about you. Jesus talks about you. He intercedes at the right hand of God, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is always talking about you because he's in you. You're special. You are special. You are special. And if you understand how special you are today, you would know, wow, once you find out how special you are in Christ, you just want to get back to God. You want to worship him more. You want to serve. You want to pray. You want to learn more about him. The more you learn about him, the more you find out how more special you are to him. But then stop. It keeps going. He says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purposes." We know that all things work together for the good because you're part of the family. You have a Father that's all-powerful, all-loving, all-caring, all-compassionate. But he also knows what wrath is. He also knows what anger is. He knows what blessings are. And I'm telling you, no one wants to bless you more than God. So with the Holy Spirit, you are something. And then I would think when things get tough, I want to read down here in verse 31. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us?" Once again, you're special. He didn't even spare his own son, but he offered him up for us all. Did you realize that? He didn't even spare his own son. If you don't think you're loved, that ought to let you know you're loved. Because I don't think I could spare one of my sons. And you that have children probably would say the same thing. But I don't have all the God. I don't. God, there's a love that God has, and we'll never get. We don't understand it all until we get to heaven. But you know, I love more now as a believer than I was before I was a believer. The same for you. How do you love people more than you ever could love them after salvation? Because it's God's love. God's Holy Spirit is teaching you how to love those who don't look like you, how to love those who don't act like you, how to love your enemies. "But he offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies." It's a reminder. God's in charge. Don't try to get in the mind of God. It's not going to work. But listen to the mind. Verse 34, he says this. "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. That tells us where Jesus is right now. Scripture has a lot of information on what's going on and where people are, what's going on. And then he goes on and he says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There's all kinds of things that's trying to separate you from God. Can't do it, but in your mindset, you can make it happen. I just can't get to God because of these things I got going on in my life. Or I don't have time for God. Or I can't believe things are going. I think these obstacles are in my life and I can't get to God. It's going to separate me. No. No. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? It has the list. But as it's written, because of you. You are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things we are more than conquerors. We are more than victorious through Him who loved us. That's how we know. We are more than conquerors. We are more than, we have victory. I am walking every day in victory. And if you're a believer, so are you. But you have to act like it. Own it. Own it. Own it. I'm saved and I own that. I'm victorious. I'm going to own it today. There might be some bad things. Might get a bad result. Might get a bad test result from the doctor. But own it. Because what's inside of you, cancer don't defeat. What's inside of you, financial ruin doesn't defeat. What's inside of you is alive and real. It's everlasting. This is the Holy Spirit of God. Satan uses the world things to bring you down. God wants to remind us that it isn't about the world because that is temporal, but it's what is inside you that's everlasting. It is the Holy Spirit. And we are more than conquerors. How? Through Christ and Christ alone. Without Christ, you are not a conqueror. You're conquered. But with Christ, you're a conqueror. Okay? But then he says this. For I'm persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we're family. Because we belong to Christ. We belong to God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do I know that? Because I have Jesus Christ, my Lord, personal Savior. He has deposited the Holy Spirit in me, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because why? Because I'm special. But I'm only special because of Jesus made me special. The same thing for you. You can live defeated, or you can live victorious. Now, you can do that even as a Christian. You can live defeated. Oh, woe is me. Woe is my back pocket. Woe is my house. My car keeps breaking down. Fight the good fight. Finish well. Keep fighting. Keep speaking in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when you lean on the Holy Spirit, you'll see God move. Quit trying to make things move and listen. Let God move things. And He moves things by His Holy Spirit. Quit moving things in your life because they're too heavy for you to move. You can't move it anyway. And if you do, you're wearing yourself, taking your eyes off of Jesus and putting Him on the thing. The Holy Spirit resides in every believer in this room today. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit, and He has given you the Spirit to be able to make good, godly decisions. If you are making ungodly decisions, it's because you are not doing and walking in the will of God. You are doing your own thing. And that will lead you into ruin and into disasters of things. And like, why can't I get these things done? Why is bad things happening to me? Sometimes it's life, but sometimes we cause it ourselves. Because we are not listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's when Scripture says, God disciplines those whom He loves. What did we just read? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Doesn't mean God stops loving us, but your sinful lifestyle and the decisions keep walking away from God, pushing God away, it can cause discipline to come upon the believer. And how many of you know about God's discipline? Me, myself, and I. I do know what that feels like. I don't like it, but I've been around it before, and I don't like it. And this was always this. Always came back to this every single time. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to have been doing, doing my own thing, and I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And the thing is, I knew it. How did I know it? Because the Holy Spirit testified inside of me, you're messing up. You're making bad choices. You're making bad decisions. Listen to me. There is a better way. Keep choosing that. Guess what I got to do? I got to repent. Got to turn around. Got to get repentant. Get on my knees before God. Coming back with what I think I'm going to pray about, and God turns it around, and we get into the details. I don't like talking about the details sometimes, but God sometimes wants to talk about the details. Because God wants more than the 3-minute prayer. God will let you cry for 20 minutes. Come on now. I'm not the only one. God will find you behind a grocery store. He'll find you in the alley. He'll find you in the bathroom. It don't matter. He'll find you, and you and him are going to have a talk. Because that Holy Spirit's going to put up with it only so long. And then God's going to put the hammer down, and he said the Holy Spirit's going to get real good with you, and then he's going to start crushing things around you. Because why? And so those things are temporal, but to you at that moment, they're everything. But God is more important. God has got his eyes on the prize. It is you. You're a child. He's a father, and he's going to allow some discipline to come upon you. And I'm going to tell you, you're somebody today because you have Jesus Christ. And it wasn't left to just Jesus Christ. He gave you the Holy Spirit. So you can live a life that God's called you to live through his Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father, our Creator and Maker of all things. He is God. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Offering the, he was the gift. He paid his life for the gift of a thing called salvation. And upon receiving that salvation, it didn't end. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God knew there was so much flesh and so much evil in man, he had to fill it with something good. And nothing else was good except God. And he just gave a look. He gave his Spirit inside of man. So he knew how to live right from wrong. Amen. Now today I know this. We're not all living the way we should be living. But sometimes we also may come to a place where like, wow, I didn't quite understand and know all that. I did receive the Holy Spirit as salvation. I am an important person. I'm part of the family of God. Maybe I need to act like it more. Maybe I need to start putting away childish things. Time to grow up. Time to grow up, not just in the flesh, not just in your age-wise, but time to grow up spiritually. Time to grow up. But you know, I don't know what God needs with you today, but I know this. If you're a believer, there's the Holy Spirit inside of you right now that's working his words inside of you. Because each one of us are in different places. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Whatever is going on, and whatever God wants, whatever it is that God wants to work inside of you right now, you can hear it. If you're a believer, you can hear it. Now I have a question for you. Why are you not listening? Why do you keep fighting that voice all the time? It's because that flesh in there. I don't do what I need to do. I do what I'm not supposed to do. God will give us a way to get victory over it. Abide by the Holy Spirit. I know this as a Christian since way back when. I learned this a long time ago. If I take one step toward Jesus, he just has a tendency to give me the steps I need for the rest of it. But I got to take that one step. And he makes the rest easier. But it's that first step. To getting right with God. It's the battleground step. It's crossing over. It's stepping in. And when we step close to God, we know the scripture comes true. You don't just read it, but you experience it. If I step toward God, he steps toward me. Things get revealed. I have no clue where each one of you are today, but I know who does. And so do you. Whatever it is that God has for you through his Holy Spirit, I pray that you would listen to that today. We're going to go ahead and stand. We're going to have this opportunity that we have each Sunday.